Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday. I'm already looking forward to Christmas. Monday morning, Sunday afternoon, whenever it is. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Myrick.
That'd be really weird.
You're very loud. Let me. Sorry
about that.
No, I don't mind it. I don't mind it. But as our listeners.
Testing.
No, you're good. You're good. You don't
testing
have to
test. One, two.
You're good. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away. It's at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it's what's for Christmas. Guess what's sitting in my fridge now?
Chocolate cake?
No. But there is a prime rib.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a big old 7-pounder. Sitting in the
there's a T-bone in the freezer somewhere.
Yeah, I'm still waiting to cook that thing. I haven't.
You got
to
cook it.
I'm going to cook it.
The prime rib gets dibs.
It gets dibs today. I'm looking forward to that. Went up there. So Kroger here. They knew that beef. It's what's for Christmas at Kroger because they had the cooler. One half was full of whole tenderloins, and the other half was full of prime ribs. And I was just like. Pfft. So, as we always say here on the show, beef, it's the reasoning for the seasoning. Beef, it's what's for Christmas, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. If you're looking for last-minute gift ideas, shipping, we probably can't help you there. But if you head down to one of their two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowway by the Half Shell, today, tomorrow, you should be okay. So, if you need a last-minute gift idea for a Bulldog fan, they've got them at College Corner. A great selection, all the new logos, everything you're looking for. It's right there at College Corner. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant. Lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch. Best meal in town is always at Restaurant Tyler. This week, you know, with Christmas, they're going to be off a few days, but that's fine. They'll be back with us before you know it, and then we'll be back with them before they know it. When you want a great meal in the city of Starkville, there is only one place you really need to go, and that is our good friends at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations ready to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. They'll show you not only where they're located, they're going to show you how they're going to help you invest, help you prepare for the future, and help you manage your money. I got them out of order there. That's okay. It's no big deal. Now more than ever, I know.
You're running the thing.
I'm trying. Now more than ever, you got to be able to talk to somebody about your money when you got a question. You don't want to be on hold. You don't want to have to wait around. You don't want to have to deal with a bunch of emails. You just want to talk to a person on the other line that knows you and knows you what's going on. You can get that with the level of service you get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Robbie, I traveled to Memphis on Saturday to the FedEx Forum to see Mississippi State play Memphis, and it was the weirdest thing. I didn't watch Mississippi State play Memphis. Memphis was a top 25 team, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were playing on the road at a top 25 opponent. That should be a really tough game. Somehow they switched out, I don't know, ULL or you know, Texas State, somebody. That couldn't have been Memphis, Robbie, that Mississippi State dispatched so easily, dominated from start to finish, and should have won by 30-plus. That couldn't have been Memphis, Robbie.
Looked like them.
Wow.
It looked like what they look like under Penny Hardaway. I feel like it was not a good matchup mm-hmm. for Memphis. When you look at the things that Mississippi State does well and the things that Memphis has kind of struggled with.
Mm-hmm.
Lately, Memphis has been struggling to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
State was the more physical team from start to finish, on the defensive end especially. State was more aggressive on the boards, and State was hitting shots. Mm-hmm. Memphis didn't defend very well. it really turned out to just be a really bad matchup for Memphis. And this is the kind of game, when State's playing like this early, you know, usually know what's going to happen. We saw it against Tennessee last year. We really saw it, I think, against Auburn when they beat Auburn last year as well. And then this year you saw it against Pitt and Memphis. State, when they get a big lead like that, mm-hmm. and when they're kind of dictating the pace and dictating the game, you can, I mean, there nothing happens down the line that really changes it.
Yeah.
It kind of sticks to script for them. So I thought we saw very early in that game a State team that, it kind of felt like that, you know, Dan Mullen's speech before the LSU game. I don't think they know what they're about to, what's like about that. To hit them. Because State came out, I mean, the announcers, it's a very weird game for these announcers.
Comments on social media and on message boards about
the little hairs that you have on these microphones.
Did you have one going there?
It was twirling at
me. Oh, you got to get rid of that. So, but yeah, I saw there were some complaints about the CBS crew.
They just weren't very good. But they first of all, I've only
watched the highlights, so I don't know.
I'm not one of those that's like, oh, these guys are biased, and you know, these referees are biased, and you know, cheating, all that stuff. But sometimes when it's just really bad, it sticks out to me. And it was just everything that this CBS crew talked about was patterned around Memphis. Mm-hmm. It was almost like it was a Memphis home broadcast. It was very strange. For it to be a national broadcast, everything was like what Memphis isn't doing right. And this is happening because Memphis isn't doing it well. There just was a lot of like comments like that in this game. And they didn't, like, the camera guy was filming a assistant coach. I think it might have been Philly Dave on the bench. No, it wasn't Philly Dave. It was one of the new assistants. I'm sorry, I can't remember his name. But
yeah.
They're filming him instead of Chris Jans.
Yeah.
And, you know, got a graphic that says Chris Jans or whatever. And then after the game, the crew, which was like Jay Wright and that bunch at the studio, is talking about, like, you know, Memphis has had a tough schedule and this has just really wore on them. And they're kind of at the point now, they're just tired. It was all about Memphis. Like, there was nothing in there that really gave State the credit that they deserved for coming into the FedEx Forum and just absolutely spanking the Tigers. Like, you just never really got that. And that's, I don't know, like, maybe it's a sensitivity thing with some of us when we hear this stuff, but it just feels like if State does something well, it's the other team's fault. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, we've been talking about this team now for over a month and how good we feel like this team's going to be, and they've proven it now. They had one really bad game where they lost to Butler.
Mm-hmm.
But they went on the road to SMU and they beat SMU. They've won some good neutral site games. Mm-hmm. They destroyed a top 25 team in Pitt. And then they go on the road, and this was an absolute massacre if not for free throws in the first half. This is a at the half 25-point game.
Free throws in the first half, and then at the end of the game, Jans pulls the starters and Penny doesn't.
I mean, it got up to 22, and he started pulling the starters.
Yeah, they went on an 11-0 run in the last 2 minutes because Jans took his foot off the gas, and I think Penny knew he's like a 24-point loss is going to look a lot worse on the net than a 12-point loss or a 13-point loss. So that's why he tried to get some points there at the end.
But
State 24 when they went on that run.
It was a butt-whooping. And we were kind of sitting around waiting for something bad to happen. It's just the Mississippi State way. But it just never did. Every time that Memphis would sneak back into it, Riley Kugel would hit a big three or Claudel Harris or somebody.
Let's be clear when you say sneak back into it. Once State got the lead in the double digits, sneaking back into it meant like they cut it to 11.
Yeah, I don't know if it ever got back to single digits.
They never got back to single digits at any point.
And that, like, it was just, it was seriously impressive. Like, State was just in full control from, I think it was 5-5 or something.
Yeah.
And so State went on a 8-0 run.
First media timeout, it was 5-5.
Mm-hmm.
Then State goes on an 8-0 run. Then State from there pushes it. It ended up being a 29-9 run, and they pushed the lead out to 34-14.
It was impressive.
It was just on from there. You said that, you know, you felt like you were waiting on something bad to happen, like Memphis to get back in the game. And I'm sitting next to Paul Jones at this game, and we were talking, and he's like, they're going to make a run at some point. I was like, I think you're right. And just after about 10 minutes in the first half, I was like, this team's just not good enough to play with Mississippi State. And
the mental toughness.
Yeah, there's a difference. And once again, this is another game for State to play and play really well without Hubbard really giving you his best game at all. He hit a couple of threes early in the first half, and I thought, okay, he's going to have a big day. And he just didn't. And it was Kugel. It was Keyshawn Murphy. Cam Matthews had a big second half for Mississippi State. And everybody, it's just another game where everybody's finding a bucket or two. Claudell Harris only hit two shots, but he had, I thought both of his shots were big. He had one that I think Memphis had cut it to 11, and he comes right down and hits a three-pointer that pushes it right back to like a 14-point lead. But he was also all over the court. If you look at the other stats, he had a really good day. Like I said, he didn't have much as far as scoring goes, but when you look at what he was able to do all over the court, it's really impressive. He had 8 rebounds. He had 3 assists. He had 5 steals. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just really, really good.
Yeah, Melinda, you're starting to see Claudell Harris isn't just a spot-up shooter.
Yeah.
You know, he can do a little bit of everything. He was really impressive yesterday. Rough shooting day, like you said, but everything else. And that's what's really impressive to me about this team is if a lot of these players, I'll point out specifically Josh Hubbard and Claudell Harris. If their shots aren't falling, they're doing other things.
Right.
Now, this might have been Josh's worst game.
Yeah, five turnovers. He got the turnover, but he came in with 3, and he had 5 in this game.
3 of 8 from 3. Wasn't a great game for Josh.
No.
But we had a conversation, and I think it was like after the first week, and you mentioned, like, what are they going to do if Josh Hubbard's having an off night?
Mm-hmm.
And I just had a feeling beginning of the year that with this team, somebody's going to step up when he's not having a good night.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be a specific, like, we don't have to say it has to be Claudell Harris or Riley Kugel.
Last year, it had to be Tolu Smith and Josh Hubbard.
Yep.
And then it was like, if somebody else steps up, State will definitely win the game. Now it's Hubbard's going to get double digits. Mm-hmm. He may only get 12 or 13, but he's going to double digits. But somebody else, at least 2 other guys, are going to have 15.
And every game, somebody, it's like, there's not even a pattern here. We can't just say, you know, I thought we saw it with Michael Nwoku for about 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't just say, like, so-and-so is on a big run right here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just seems like tonight is Keyshawn Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight is Claudell Harris. Tonight's R.J. Melendez. Tonight's Cam Matthews, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This team is just mentally tough, first and foremost, from what I can tell in the first part of this schedule, just really mentally tough, but also they just find ways to get other guys involved, and it's a game by game basis. It's not just it's not something that you can really nail down. I think that's why we've seen so many starting lineups too.
Yeah.
I think Jans just goes with the field.
I think you're right. Look at Cam Matthews' line. Now, he didn't score a point in the first half.
Another hilarious Cam Matthews line.
He had 2 points in the first half. He had a late bucket, but 9 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal, and only 1 turnover.
I mean, and 12 points.
And 12 points. Yeah, just so good.
I mean, pushing triple-double.
He was a plus 24 in this game.
Yeah, he was just bullying people out
and,
there.
You know, and again, like, somebody doesn't play well. Michael Nwoko doesn't play well. He had a great game against Central Michigan, right? He had foul trouble. He was 0-for-4 from the field. Robbie, all 4 of those misses were within a foot of the rim. He had 3 putback attempts that did not go in. So he doesn't play very well, right? Well, here comes Keyshawn Murphy off the bench. He gives you 13 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists. And how many block shots did he have? 2 block shots.
Really good on the defensive end.
Really good. So the
R.J. Melendez looked good yesterday.
Yeah. Had a couple
We hadn't even talked about Riley Kugel, who that might have been his best
Melendez
game.
Melendez had, to me, one of the plays that really defined the game, where he gets the steal off the inbounds, where he just takes it away and he gets an easy bucket. And, like, State can do whatever they want with this team. Kugel comes out, fires a 3 on his first shot, and the net barely moves. And I'm just like, okay. You know, I'm like, I've been waiting to see this.
Some point guard.
Next possession, comes down again, hits another 3. I was like, okay, he's going to be in today. 19 points, 4 rebounds, a couple of assists. Playing point guard, only 2 assists, but looked really comfortable handling the ball against that Memphis press. I just can't stress enough how impressed I was in this. State's best two games of the year have been against the two top 25 opponents they've played.
Yeah.
You know, they dominated Pitt. They dominated. This one's on the road.
They're kind of in a mode where they're playing to their competition, I feel like. Which I think that's going to be a good thing for State because you look at the SEC schedule that's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
46-32 rebounding advantage, just, I mean,
that
dominated.
Was surprising how easily they dominated. Robbie, I said it at
38-18,
kind of like a joke, but I mean, it didn't look like State was playing a top 25 team on the road.
Yeah.
It did not. It looked like Mississippi State was just playing some normal quad three team that they were just supposed to beat up on. And, you know, the crowd, kudos to the Mississippi State fans, a lot of them in there. That crowd was not what I expected, by the way. Like, I thought that place was going to be packed. It was not. It was not at all.
Lower level was, wasn't
Lower
it?
Level was pretty full, but the uppers was not. And I remember looking at Paul at the point. I was like, you know, this crowd's not that great. I was like, but next year when this team comes to the hump, it is going to be a madhouse.
It'll be slammed, yeah.
But the State fans were loud. I was able to get a good video of the maroon and white cheer coming out of the crowd. They were into the game early. You know, Hubbard hits that three on State's, I think, second possession. You hear a big boom, and I was like, okay, they're in here today. And it, of course, as it was trademark Tyler Horka. We got the mass exodus about 3 minutes to go. So.
There is no reason why State basketball, like the following, the support,
mm-hmm.
can't be what Auburn is.
There's no reason.
There's no reason.
Yeah.
Auburn had, you know, that there was a time where their basketball program was pretty much dead. The atmosphere wasn't any good.
One of the worst programs in the country.
And now they're traveling everywhere. Yesterday they had a game in Birmingham. Now, it was against a top 25 team in mm-hmm. Purdue, but it was slammed, yeah. Slam packed in Birmingham.
Yeah.
And that's how State fans should follow this team to Tupelo and mm-hmm. Jackson and places like that. There's no reason why they shouldn't have that. The culture here is built strong enough where it should be that way.
It's getting there.
I think so. I think people are starting to come around a little bit, but my thing to State fans is like, pour in and invest in this basketball team because you have something here that I think can be really special under Chris Jans.
I think the next game will be not a great crowd. It's a Monday tip at 8 o'clock at night, the day before New Year's. That's going to be really hard. No students are in town. That's going to be a hard one. But after that, you know, people should be traveling back on the 4th for that game against South Carolina. That should be a pretty packed out. Again, your student crowd won't be great because they're all still gone, but that should be a really good crowd. Yeah. I liked, you know, I came into this week, remember I was saying, I was like, yeah, this team is, they're inconsistent the way they start games, and, you know, they got to figure that out. You know, they're kind of up and down, even though they're winning. These two games this week have been their best. This has been the best week of the season for Mississippi State. They were absolutely dominant in both games, and now they're sitting, I think, moved up to 11th in the net. They're 5-1, or 4-1, 5-1, something like that, I think. Let me bring them to the net.
5-1 and quad
5-1,
one,
quad one, quad two.
This one's probably, I mean, Memphis is going to have to drop off, but this one's probably going to be quad one the whole time.
Yeah, what is Memphis now?
I mean, I'm sure they dropped a good bit, but
they're 46th. They have to drop 30 more spots.
And they're
going to go into conference play where they're going to dominate.
But they might drop in that because they're just not going to play anybody.
Who is the next highest rated team in the America? They are the highest rated team in their conference in net.
Oh, yeah, easily.
So,
I'm sure.
I mean, it's the thing is they'll win enough games, they'll stay up there. The net rankings to me, they're kind of weird. Like Houston is 7th in the net. They're 2-3 in quad one, quad two.
Yeah, it'll all settle out.
It'll all settle out eventually. Ole Miss finally, State has gotten ahead of them. Ole Miss down to 30 in the net. But against Ole Miss is 2-1 quad one, quad two. They're 9-0. Nine
playing,
out of 11 wins are
they're playing an team. Awful schedule since that Purdue game. Schedule's just
I'm
bad.
Very interested. When we look ahead to Ole Miss, they're it just feels like they're doing the same thing they did last year. They're beating up on lesser competition when
they played Queens.
Yeah,
but
so I'm interested to see what happens with them when SEC play rolls around.
This is the Monday game you talked about it. That's an important game. That could be Prairie View again.
You cannot screw that one up. Just win that game, and you have had as good a non-conference as you could have hoped for.
And this is the last one that could really tank your net.
Yeah.
Because SEC, you're going to be playing I don't know if we're going to have an SEC game this year that's going to be like Missouri last year that was like in the hundreds or 200s, whatever it was. I don't know if there's an anchor in the SEC. And at that point, you're just trying to get wins in SEC play to get to the point where you feel really safe about the NCAA tournament.
Right.
Which to me, like, I feel like seven is like the base number.
Yeah.
To get in the tournament.
The like lowest team in the net is South Carolina, who's 92nd.
So, I just don't think you're going to have like a 200 net.
No. What was it last year? It was Missouri, right?
Missouri. Did you play them twice?
They only played them once last year. But 2 years ago was South Carolina, and State played them twice. Remember that last game? They were like, it's going to tank State's net a little bit no matter what.
Yeah.
South Carolina, what's funny about South Carolina, they're 92nd in the net. They're 8-3. They just beat top 25 Clemson this week.
Yeah.
The next team up is LSU. They're at 57. So that means that State only plays them here. So that should be a quad. That might be a quad three. But that's fine. And LSU, if they win some conference games, we'll move up.
You just don't lose those.
Where's Vandy at?
As long as you don't lose those, you'll be fine.
Did I miss the Commodores? Where are they?
But the SEC schedule, I mean, you have a chance here to get into.
I didn't miss them. Vandy's at 40. Is it 40 in the net? So, yeah.
You have a chance here to get to 14-1 with Kentucky coming to town, and that's going to be a – I mean, if you could do that, that's going to – and I think it's going to be a good atmosphere anyway, but that's going to be rocking.
14 of the 16 SEC teams – are in the top 50.
Yes, crazy.
So, I mean, everything's going to be quad one, quad two the rest of the way, pretty much. So, yeah, you've got some great, great options there. I can't get over how easily State won that game yesterday. You know, being there, just watching them play, they felt like they were a step ahead of Memphis every play.
Yeah.
Like, they were in the passing lanes. They were quicker to rebounds. They were able to get by their man. Yeah, they just... It was fun to watch. It was fun to watch.
I was
man, you had to enjoy that.
I was really impressed with just the demeanor of the team and just how they – I mean, they never got rattled in that. It was just from start to finish, they were alpha dogs. You could kind of see it on their faces. You could see any time that Memphis started to kind of creep back in a little bit,
they would just go get
somebody would hit a shot.
Yeah.
And nobody panicked. And I also love just how they – like how hard they played on every possession.
Yeah.
Like one of the best things I saw on Saturday, something that I would encourage any young basketball player to watch, was State got the, I think it was a steal on the inbounds or transition, I can't remember, and missed a layup. Josh Hubbard was there to put it back. He misses it. And then
first half, yeah.
And then Riley Kugel finishes it off. You had three players. Two of them followed the shot, and made sure that you finished it. Nobody gave up on the play. That is, to me, fundamental basketball, as old school as it gets. That's what your coach tells you when you're a kid.
Like, yeah, go
get go crash the boards.
Yeah,
and that's what they did.
And the other side of that is, if you're Memphis, how do you let you have a turnover, and yet three of State's guys touch the ball before any of your guys can even get over there?
That's a big reason why they lost. I mean, they lost that game yesterday in large part due to effort. I feel like State had better effort. They crashed the boards. And for all the, you know what's going to happen with State's rebounding, they found a way.
They found a way.
This team can rebound. And they're going to have tougher challenges whenever they get into SEC play. There's going to be better post presences. Presences. Presence.
Presence eye.
Presence eye?
Yeah.
Ooh, nice. Yeah. There's going to be a better post presence in SEC play.
Yeah.
And so rebounding is going to be a little more difficult. But watching like guys like Claudell Harris go and get boards yesterday, seriously impressive. State's found a way to make that work.
Long athletic guys who can crash the board.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they've got. I mean, Melendez, Harris, Kugel. You know, what you don't have, you remember last year, Shaq Moore, Deshaun Davis, those are smaller guards. And then with Hubbard, your guards can't really rebound. Now you've got bigger guards. So it kind of makes up for the fact that you don't have a big banger down below. Although Nwoko, when he plays well, is really good. He's just got to continue to improve and get a little bit more consistent. Really good win for the Bulldogs. Like I said, off this week, then back at it on Monday, December the 30th, 8 p.m. tip at the Hump. A certain Richard Cross on the call for the SEC Network on that one. So we'll get to see that Cross money in the hall. His record,
Rashad.
His record calling games here in Starkville.
Pretty good.
It's very good. So, all right.
Didn't he do the Ole Miss game last year?
No, he did Auburn and I think Vanderbilt. He had the Auburn game that the state won
Was
here.
it Vandy?
Yeah.
He didn't do Tennessee, did he?
No, because that was on a weekday.
Okay.
So, yeah. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Pitt Printing and Signs. Reliable service for every business need. They want to wish you a happy holidays. And once we get back into the new year, you need to find a new way to get your message out to your customers. Pitt Printing and Signs can develop a plan and help you with that from start to finish. 2025 can be the best year for your business, but you've got to have the right people behind you. Pitt Printing and Signs can be that extra boost you need to take your company to the next level. Call Cam Baker. Tell him you heard about him on Thunder and Lightning. 601-36, no, sorry, 601-4, oh no, 499. I've forgotten it. Oh no. Cam, I've got his number on my phone.
Oh my
We're gonna have
gosh.
to do it. It's got to be that way, Robbie. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I had
Just
that.
get us to the holidays.
That's all I really need. Cam, Cam,
Get us
info.
to the holiday.
601-499-5216. I'm telling you, man. I've got Christmas brain going on right now. I don't know. Like as soon as I said, because 362 is Advantage Business Systems. As soon as I said it, my brain went nope and just shut off. 601-499-5216. If you need printing, call Pip Pip today. Two Brothers Smoke Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for, and I know that you are looking for it. When you get back to Starkville, guys, you've got to make a trip to Two Brothers Smoked Meats. They've new menu, some new menu items on there. We've told you about the Build Your Own Basket. I'm a huge fan of that. Love getting those pork rind nachos and making them my way. And of course, you know, tacos, sandwiches, all sort of good stuff. If you don't want that, just head across the street to the Older Brother and enjoy a fancy sandwich, a little something more refined, a little more bourgeoisie, if you will. You can
The
enjoy.
Fandwich.
Yeah, yes. Oh, a sandwich?
The Fandwich.
I like that. I'm not gonna lie, I
The
like that.
Fandwich.
The sandwich. The fancy sandwich. Yeah. Yeah. We can make that work. Two Brothers Smoke Meats, the Older Brother, two of my favorite places to go in the city of Starkville. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
50, brother.
50. So when you are.
50? 50?
When you're looking for a new copier, a new printer, any kind of business technology, call Advantage Business Systems. They'll hook you up with great name brands at great prices. But more importantly, when you need service after the sale, they are there for you. They're not one of these people who like they sell you something and then it's like, oh, where'd they go? No, it's a simple, easy phone call to the same people you made the sale with, and they can take care of your problems a lot of times the same day because they're in Mississippi just like you. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the next game here in Starkville, you need to make a trip to Maroon & Co. If you are in Starkville and you need new Mississippi State gear, the place to go is Maroon & Co. They've got the biggest, best selection here in the city. You can't find any some of the stuff they have, you cannot find anywhere else. It is a Maroon and Company exclusive, and we can save you a little money. Online or in store, the promo code is THUNDER15 to 50, say 15% regular price items. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to the games, make sure you go to Maroon and Co. So, Robbie, a couple of additions to Mississippi State's class. The JUCO tight end is just a signing, right? That's not a transfer portal thing, correct?
Right. Yeah, that's
Okay.
just addition to the 2025 class, I
Let's
guess, is
start
what
with
you
him
say.
because he committed on Sunday. New commitment for Mississippi State. He's big. We'll just definitely say that for you.
Large human.
Yeah. Young man, if I mispronounce, there's no chance of me getting it right the first time. All right. So if you're listening and you're like, he butchered that, I apologize. Amika, I'm gonna say Ilo.
The I and the L are supposed to be
Ilo.
swapped.
I don't know. I don't know, man. I'm going to Ilo.
The L's the first.
Ilo. That it's an I to start, right?
That's a L.
How is that an L?
I mean, I'm looking at the
That's a
same thing. You
capital I.
That is an L. It's got it's this.
Hold on. Let me see the boy's name here.
Unless his thing is different on
Where are you looking?
on his profile.
That's a capital I and then a lowercase L.
Well, I can't turn my computer because
I'm looking at it right here. That's
at his profile.
Yeah. Oh, are you looking? I'm looking at his Twitter page. You're talking about
on his profile. It's a capital L,
So hold on
and
there.
then another L. So I'm guessing that's a lowercase L.
Let me see if I can find the boy here. He's on the just the signee list here.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, that's interesting.
That's an L,
that's
right?
An LL on his Twitter profile.
It's a low.
That's an I.
Or maybe he's got two lowercase L's.
Well, no, like on his Twitter at, it's capital E, capital I, lowercase LOH. So you think it's just low?
I don't know. I just found out this person exists yesterday.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. 6'9", 250 pounds. So what we'll say?
Sock it to me one more time. Get low.
I get it.
Get low.
I get it. She hit the flow. Next thing you know,
get
she got
Amika low.
She got Amika low, low, oh. Low, 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 low.
So he's 6'7.5" on his profile. Is it? I mean,
what? Here's what we need to know about this guy.
What's your last name? What do you even? Is it? Is it spelled correctly?
I don't even. I don't know anything.
Does he exist?
He
is
exists.
This person real?
Here's what we know about him. Physically, there's a lot going on here.
There's a lot going on.
Statistically, there's not anything going on. This guy didn't play last season. So this is just about a guy who you look at his frame and you're like, I can turn him into a superstar, right? Because it's you don't have any production to base this off of.
Mm-hmm. He didn't play this last year,
it's
right?
Right. It's a little concerning considering that State really could use another tight end because, you know, they have Traore. I think Cam Ball is back, right? But he gave you zero production last
Correct.
year.
Correct. You lost Justin Ball.
Yeah, Justin Ball. Is out. So I just don't know, man. I don't know.
It's a high upside kid, very high upside,
very
I
high.
Would say.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him play, but you know, at 6'9", I think he played defensive end some in high school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be a freak of nature that you just evaluated out of nowhere and you make, you know, a great, great player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sadio Traore was relative unknown when he came in. I know people have criticized him, but from a physical standpoint and the ability that he has at tight end, it's undeniable. That's a guy that I could see, if he puts it all together, being an NFL guy. Being 6'9 is something that you can't teach,
mm-hmm.
like big Cass.
Very nice.
And, you know, comes from obviously a great state for football talent in a great area. I don't hate this. I mean, I don't think you lose a whole lot by taking a guy like this.
Mm-hmm.
You feel good about Sadio Traore next year, and you know we'll see about Cam Ball and you know some of those other guys. But I don't see this as a big issue, especially when you look at the physical nature of him.
Mm-hmm.
At the very least, surely you can put him out there and he could, you know, push somebody out of the way.
You would think, yeah. And, six, and that's the thing.
Six,
they
eight,
kind of 50
is what he's listed.
Is a blocker.
Yeah.
They need another good blocker because Traore can handle the receiving part of it. I mean,
you put him on the ground and put his hand on the ground.
Ball didn't have maybe like two or three catches last year. So, I mean, they're not really looking for another tight end as part of the receiving.
You know, like short yardage, you put this guy's hand on the ground and give him an extra.
Yeah.
I mean, he's almost an extra offensive lineman at
yeah,
this point.
Exactly. So that's fine.
Yeah, it really doesn't bother me that they're taking him.
Yeah.
You know, and I like tight end is a need, but is it, you know, do you have to go out in the portal and get a big difference maker right now? Mm-hmm. I would say no.
Yeah. The other addition this weekend is Texas defensive tackle Jare Bledsoe, a 4-star kid coming out of high school. Kind of fits the mold of what State's been getting as far as defensive line prospects, and that's hasn't really made much of a contribution. And as somebody pointed out on the message board, it's not that State's taken guys who aren't starters, right? They're not taking guys. They're taking guys who aren't really backups either. They're taking these third and fourth guys who their recruiting profile in high school was great, but they have not made any kind of real contribution yet. So this is another potential overproduction kind of guy for Mississippi State. State's inability to land any kind of true production outside of Red Hibbler on this defensive line is troubling, concerning, whatever words you want to use. It doesn't make any sense other than people don't want to play for David Turner.
And it's like they're going after guys like from good programs that were really good in high school, like mm-hmm. highly sought after in high school, but that doesn't matter anymore.
Right.
Like if you're the third string guy at Auburn or Texas, some of these places that State's going after players, mm-hmm. just because you were ranked high in high school doesn't mean that you're going to be a good player here next year.
Right.
And it's like you can't afford to do these projects right now. I don't really have a big problem with Bledsoe, by the way. If he's like your number two guy that you get at that position, mm-hmm. I don't really have an issue with it. Because he's
State's issue right now is that they have a ton of depth, but they don't have any starters.
Yeah.
They don't have a single
There's
guy
no difference makers.
Yeah, he's locked
There's
in.
No difference makers.
Right.
But this guy can come in and can give you some good reps and push the offensive line back. I'm sure he's got the size to do it. And affect the front a little bit. I believe he can. But there's just nobody that they're recruiting right now. Like even like recruiting that really gets you excited about what they're doing up front. It's like David Turner's still got that mentality of like going after Preston Smith, and he's going to find another Preston Smith and another right. Ryan Brown and guys like that. The issue is you did that with high school kids, and you had players already in position where you could kind of develop them. You can't just develop players anymore. Like it just doesn't happen. It's very difficult at this stage because you're constantly turning rosters over and – it's still a big part of things, and you still need to have that mindset, but you can't take projects out of the portal that haven't done anything for 3+ years. It'd be different if this guy was redshirting last year, mm-hmm. and, he's got 3 or 4 years of eligibility, and, like, these guys that they're going after have been in college for 3 or 4 years mm-hmm. and have no production to very little production.
Right.
And This is the issue at this stage is the most important position that Mississippi State had to fix in the offseason mm-hmm. is not being fixed.
Right.
And I have no reason to believe that David Turner has like a sense of urgency on this mm-hmm. is the problem. Because last year we were told they liked what they had. They just needed a couple of depth pieces. They're still bringing in depth pieces. They're not bringing in guys that are going to change things up front.
Right.
And that's the problem with your entire defense was your defensive line.
Yeah.
And you've done nothing to help it.
If State was getting guys like this but had already added a couple of quality starters, I would be like, they're doing great, right? Because they're going to have depth. They have guys who can come in and out. But right now, your starting defensive line is still Trevion Williams and Calvin Dinkins, who you can't have any, faith in to stay
And if
healthy.
They reach their full potential, then you're in good shape. But we have...
But we're 3 years into this, and we're still waiting on that moment to happen.
And maybe that's what he's thinking, is he's expecting them to – and if you are expecting that, then you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, you can't expect it. You just – you hope that it happens, but you prepare for it not to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still time. I mean it's kind of like wide receiver, like – there's still some things that can happen there, but we just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
It can still happen at some of these spots.
Mm-hmm.
Cornerback, they're finally getting in the game with some players.
Mm-hmm.
They've had a couple of wide receivers come in that are okay. Defensive line has almost exclusively been projects.
Yeah.
And, even Red Hibbler, who I like and think can help
them. Didn't play last year.
He didn't play.
Yeah.
So – It's extremely concerning and frustrating that they've been able to bring in at every single position that they've recruited in the portal. They've brought in players that have done something, that have actually had some kind of experience, some kind of production. Defensive line is the area where you go look at every kid that comes in and visits almost.
Mm-hmm.
You go look at their stats, and there's, six tackles in 2 years, one sack. It's very frustrating that State's gotten in this position.
On the other side of that, how surprising is State's struggles in finding wide receivers been right now?
It's surprising. And I'm gonna tell you, they're not that concerned about it. The people that I've heard from, people that I talk to, they believe they're gonna get a good player or two. They need, what would you say, two more receivers
at least, and these got to be proven guys again. They have to be.
You know, they're not all that concerned. They believe. I don't know what's going to happen there, but they can't roll with what they got.
No.
You can't rely on what you got. I mean, it's unproven young guys, you know, incoming freshmen, and then you got – I think Brennan Thompson is going to be a lot better than people think, but, you know, what's Glover going to look like? He could be better because their offense just
– wasn't great.
No. And this offense – It brings out a superstar usually. You know, Kevin Coleman's numbers were not great at Louisville.
Yeah, they're okay.
He had, I think, over 300 yards. He exploded. You know, the State could have a guy that does that.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely they could.
You know, Thompson could be that guy. I don't know. But they got to get some dudes. I mean, because if you're not going to fix your defensive line, next year you've got to be –
elite,
really good on offense.
Yeah,
and they need a center.
Yeah, so in the offensive lineman.
I mean, this isn't close to being done. I like some of the pieces that they've added, but it's not enough for me to go from State winning two or three games to six.
Yeah, they got to bring in some quality guys in the next few weeks for me to say, okay, this team could get back into bowl contention.
And they'll have after the dead period. They're still going to be recruiting the portal,
right.
So it's not over yet. But we just haven't got to that point yet.
Yep. We'll see what happens. We'll have plenty to talk about next week when we're back. So this is our last podcast of the week. We're going to take the week of Christmas off, enjoy it, and we'll be back with you a week from today. We'll recap everything that's happened in the portal. We'll talk ahead about some basketball, getting ready for SEC play. And, of course, first week of the year, we will bring back one of our favorite shows here on Thunder and Lightning, the Robbie Awards. For excellence in the field of Mississippi State athletics.
And unfortunately, James Armstrong might have to be cut.
He's out.
He won pretty much everything last year.
Ineligible. Ineligible to win.
So. When you join the dark side.
Yeah. All right, guys. We want you all to have a very Merry Christmas. Robbie and I will be back with you a week from today for Thunder and Lightning. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk. This is it.
Merry Christmas.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.